Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, the headlines over the last several months, one that we've been following anyway, has been the exodus of members of Congress from both the political left and the political right, who are done, who are not running for re-election this year. And that's an interesting headline. But what if we could get underneath that headline and maybe even do a little exit interview? What would we learn? And could it help us actually change the direction and the effectiveness of Congress? Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
This is a great Think Again moment, and we're actually going to do this for the next two segments of the program as we have an opportunity to speak with Amanda Sue, who's a reporter for the opinion video section of the New York Times as a member of the 2023-2024 class of Times Fellows. And they did just that, exit interviews with departing lawmakers. And Amanda, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So this was fantastic. When we saw this pop up, we're like, oh, we have to talk about this. I'm a firm believer in exit interviews, regardless of the institution or organization. And so first, kind of give us the backstory. How did you get onto this? And then we'll get into some of the things that you learned along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think like many people, we've been tracking the news that there seem to be a lot of Congress members who are retiring this year. Since I think late last year, the New York Times newsroom had been publishing several articles announcing some of these higher profile departures, like former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, Senator Mitt Romney. And the idea came about in November when we had decided that we should strategically try to catch some of these lawmakers on their way out and ask them to give us sort of a peek behind the curtain for how Congress actually works and what it's like working there right now at this time of what seems like peak dysfunction.
Yeah. And you got all kinds of great insight as you did some of these exit interviews. Let's start with just kind of a high level in terms of what some of the underlying driving forces for many of these members of Congress who are saying, yeah, not going to run for re-election. I'm going to head back home.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different things. One of the questions that we asked the Congress members was your most frustrating experience or biggest frustration? And I think their responses to that were pretty illuminating. One of them mentioned, they called out their colleagues and said that a lot of Congress members these days tend to act in somewhat performative ways. And a lot of time it's about, you know, grandstanding, getting these viral moments and campaigning versus actually doing the lawmaking itself. So that was one source of frustration. Another source of frustration was, the role of money in politics. We asked the question very directly, is Congress corrupt? And many Congress members did talk about how much time lawmakers have to spend campaigning and fundraising, and just how much of that time that takes up away from, again, the lawmaking, which is what they're sent there to do. And so I think there's a lot of different aspects of the job that they were frustrated with that kind of all combined together led to their desire to leave.
Yeah. As you went through this whole process, there's always some of those surprise moments in an exit interview. And I don't know if it's because people can be totally candid because they're on their way out the door or if they want to just fire one last shot across the bow to some of their colleagues that maybe they didn't get along with. What surprised you going through this process of the exit interview?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think counterintuitively what surprised me the most was how normal the Congress members were when we spoke to them. Like the lawmakers that we see who dominate cable news tend to be the ones that I referenced earlier who are sort of vying for those viral moments. And the ones that we spoke to, however, really broke that misconception maybe that I had. I'm not a political reporter or politics reporter by trade, so it was very illuminating for me to speak to some of these people who represent districts across the country and how genuine they seemed in their desire to actually try to make a difference and get things done and how exasperated they were with the institution, so much so that they are leaving. So yeah, I guess my own surprise was the fact that they were quite normal compared to what we see and the representatives that we see making the news in Congress.
Yeah, I'm so glad you pointed that out, Amanda, because it is so easy to just watch those who are good at the we have an official term for it. It's a performative jackassery. And we see those folks all the time, and it's all we hear. And we reward bad behavior because we play it and we talk about it and we post about it. And yet there are so many who are far away from the cameras and the lights, and they're doing great constituent service work for the members in their state or in their district, and they're there for the right reason. And I don't think we celebrate those folks nearly enough. And so I'm glad you got to experience that. Of hey, there really mm-hmm. are some great people back in Congress.
Yes,
that should
absolutely.
Give us a little bit of confidence that there are some adults mm-hmm. in the room from time to time. Give us one last thing in terms of a takeaway for you in terms of forward moving. Obviously, those that are leaving. Many are part of that, we call it the flat forehead society, that they're just so tired of slapping their head saying, I can't believe we're going to do this today. That they're going to go home and make a difference in their communities or go to another business and so on. What gives you hope for the future based on what you heard from some of those exiting members of Congress?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think there's a couple of things that give me hope. The first would be what I mentioned, the fact that there are Congress members who do seem to actually be trying very hard to fight for their constituents. Though I guess the flip side of that is a lot of those Congress members are the ones who are leaving. So it's hard to know, I guess, who we're left with and who's going to be running. But I did want to relay a sentiment that the Congress members all shared. We asked them the question, what gives you hope? And while it didn't make it into the final piece, across the board, every single Congress member said that what gave them hope was the youth, like the younger generations, and new people who are entering politics, and how engaged and politically active they are. And so I think that I would just like to echo that sentiment. That was part of the reason why in our conversations, they were talking about the importance of making politics and running for office more accessible to a broader swath of American people. Making it an institution that young people would desire to go work for.
Yeah.
Because I think right now the PR for Congress is pretty bad, and there's concerns over dissuading people who genuinely want to make a difference from running for office.
Yeah, that's such great insight. I'm so glad you shared that, Amanda, because that really is the essence of it. There are great people, and we've got to make sure there's a path, because if all we do is allow the performative folks to hang around, we end up in a kakistocracy with the least qualified to govern doing all the governing. And this is such an important topic. We're going to stay with the conversation, and we're actually going to go and listen to some of those interviews that Amanda Sue and the team there at the New York Times put forward in these exit interviews with those members of Congress that are leaving the institution, going back home. Amanda Sue, reporter for the opinion video section of the New York Times, thanks so much for joining us today. Fantastic work. Great insight.
Thank you so much.
All right, when we come back, we'll listen to some of those exit interview answers from some of those members of Congress, give you some additional insight into what they've learned, what they detest, and what they hope we can do better moving forward. We'll be right back.
Think again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson. Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, if you're just joining us, in the last segment, we spoke with Amanda Sue, a New York Times reporter in the opinion video section, who did exit interviews with 12 members of Congress, both Republicans and Democrats, who are not running for re-election. Always interesting. Exit interviews can be a very fascinating exercise, and especially for those leaving service in the House and in the Senate, in our nation's capital. There's a lot of interesting things to glean from their experience there. I do love the fact that Amanda Sue in our last segment talked about the fact that she was surprised at how normal many of these people really were, that they weren't all the performative attention seekers that we often see and validate. We reward bad behavior way too often in this country. And so a lot of people think that every member of Congress is like that. And I love the fact that in their exit interviews that Amanda Sue was able to really see, there are some really, really good people, some good humans who are there for the right reason, who are focused on good public policy, who are worried about making sure they get it right, making sure they're being careful stewards of your money, because that's what's being decided in a lot of these bills, and that ultimately whatever bills are passed are going to produce the right results for the American people. And there's a lot of members of Congress that fall into that category. And sadly, far too many of them run out of energy before they run out of opportunity. And so many of them are leaving. And we've seen a large number leaving here as we enter the 2024 election cycle. People who have said, I can make a bigger difference in my community or doing something else rather than dealing with the crazy factor of the minority of the minority of both parties in Washington, D.C. So let's get into the exit interviews. A lot of fascinating questions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tee up the question that the New York Times asked these departing members of Congress. And then you're going to hear just a series of voices. I won't go through each time and tell you the names of all of these members. Just know there's 12 of them. And we'll kind of bounce through kind of the highlights of some of their answers. So the first exit interview question that the New York Times asked these departing members was, describe Congress today in one word. Here's the montage.
One word I'd use to describe Congress, I would say...
Dysfunctional.
Chaotic.
It's just very challenging.
Difficult. Last year when the Republicans took over the House of Representatives, they passed 27 bills, which made us the most unproductive Congress in any given year in the United States history.
Dysfunctional.
Tense.
Dysfunctional.
Misunderstood. The misunderstanding is that people are purposefully trying to not accomplish goals on behalf of the American people. That's just not true.
Challenging. Broken.
Challenging, broken, dysfunction, and a few little positives in there. A few things got done. And I think that's an important element to all of that. But it's interesting that these members that are leaving, that's what they're saying. That's how they're describing the circumstances that they've been working in during the last Congress. Next question was, reflecting on their own work and contributions, members were asked an important question. Did you make a difference during your time as a lawmaker? And these answers are really interesting, and it also shows the kind of focus and things that we often don't hear news reports about.
Most definitely.
For sure.
I really feel like I was able to make a difference.
66 bills.
Hundreds of amendments.
A couple $100 million from the water crisis in Flint.
Dealing with transportation, land use.
On national defense.
On healthcare issues.
I was the first woman to chair the health subcommittee.
Solve the surprise medical billing problem.
Expanding rural broadband.
Help write a bipartisan infrastructure bill that has the biggest investment ever in climate provisions.
I was responsible for passage of cancer screening coverage under Medicare.
Some of the bills that I carried for 8 and 10 years before they came to fruition.
It really appears to the public that all we do is fight when the reality is on 98% of the issues, there's great bipartisanship and people work together well and come up with good answers.
So I really reject the notion that you can't get things done.
I love that. It does give you a little bit of hope to say, okay, there is work being done. We just don't report on those issues nearly enough. The bipartisan stuff is not nearly as great as everything that screams and bleeds and is great for fundraising. And so it is important. And it's important as citizens that we look beyond just the headlines, as always, and look at what have they actually done? And how did it actually go through? And who worked together to make that pass? Because those kinds of things do matter. They do make a difference. And we need to focus far more on that. Next, these exiting members, this exit interview, they were asked, what worries you the most about the future? Take a listen to their answers.
I worry about the future of our democracy.
Are we going to protect our democracy?
The state of our democracy.
A lot of the concerns I have now are about the geopolitical climate around the world.
What worries me most is I'm not giving my grandkids the same country that my parents gave me. Social Security will be bankrupt within a few years. Medicare the same way. We can't sustain $34 trillion of debt. Right now, the incentive is to spend all the money that we don't have and put the burden on our grandchildren. Very simple solution. important. You need to change the incentive structure. For example, members of Congress don't get a salary unless they balance the budget, or they don't get to run for re-election unless they have reduced the amount of spending.
So a lot of interesting worries about the future. I think a lot of those worries are what we all worry about. Are we leaving the country a little bit better, or at least as promising as the one that we inherited? What are we doing to make sure that happens? And I think it's an important component to all of that. I want to close this out with something from Jared Kilmer. Now, Jared Kilmer is a Democrat lawmaker from Washington State. He chaired a committee that was affectionately nicknamed the Fix Congress Committee. So the Fix Congress Committee, I think we can all get on board for that. It was a bipartisan group, and it was asked to find out how to improve the state of Congress. Now, I recognize that is a big, big job, but during his exit interview, here are some of Representative Kilmer's thoughts about what it would take to improve Congress.
How do you have a more civil and collaborative institution? Set up time with this football coach who took over a team that had a notoriously corrosive culture, and he turned it into a winner. And I said, Coach, what do you do when you have players on the team trying to sabotage the team? And he said, well, I cut him. And I said, well, we don't really have that option. And then he asked me a question. He said, how do you do new player orientation? And much of the orientation process is, you know, is an exercise in keeping the two parties from talking to each other. Okay, Democrats, you get on this bus. Republicans, you get on that bus. And this coach said to me, well, I don't know much about Congress, but it seems like you ought to stop doing that. And this last year, the orientation process actually involved Democrats and Republicans going through orientation together. And listen, someone could look at that and say, hey, bang up job, Kilmer, you know, Congress is clearly fixed. Obviously, that's not the case. We've passed 202 recommendations, and I actually think over time, you're going to see some positive change within the institution as a consequence of that work.
All right, now getting on the same bus and going through orientation together may seem like a pretty minor thing, but it is not, because it sets the tone and establishes the culture. And I can tell you from my time in D.C., I watched a number of members go through that process, and it is us and them. And the Republicans do get on one bus and they go to their, you know, RNC headquarters, and the Democrats get on another bus. They go to the DNC headquarters and they do orientation there. And then inside the Capitol, they go to their collective corners. And everything is about what you have to watch out for, who you have to watch out for, what you need to defend, who you do and who you don't talk to and why. And it's all very divisive from the beginning. We've talked about on this show before that I am a firm, passionate believer that culture eats strategy for breakfast. It's about culture. And if you establish the right kind of culture, which starts with orientation, Jared Kilmer, again, Democrat from Washington State, is retiring, is not running for re-election, but he was part of this Fix Congress committee, and he said, this is where we should begin. Let's do orientation together. Because after all, they really are on the same team. The team is the United States Congress. It's the United States House of Representatives. It's the United States Senate. It's not the Republican Senate. It's not the Democratic Senate. It's the United States Senate. And those are things that have to get fixed if we're going to get this thing right. Again, fantastic exit interviews. This was in the New York Times. You should check it out at thenewyorktimes.com. Amanda Sue, a reporter of the opinion video section for the New York Times, did fantastic work. Some really interesting, fascinating, even surprising comments from these members of Congress who are leaving the building because they've had enough and are going to go try to make a difference somewhere else. A lot to think about. We'll be right back. More Inside Sources coming up next.